speaking yesterday during some segment of the day, and it come back to my mind this morning when Sister Ann was teaching Sunday school. And the phrase was, what happens when the new becomes the old? That didn't go over too good, did it? What happens when the new becomes the old? That new car is just, man, it's got it. It comes to be old, and man, it ain't got it. Hello? You knelt in an altar of prayer, and God snapped the chains of sin that had you enslaved, some to a greater degree than others. But he snapped them and told you in spiritual language that you could go free. The new, it just was like a beacon light. Does anybody hear what I'm saying? You could not wait to be in the fellowship of the saints. It's getting quiet in here. Because the newness was there. You thought that you were among the best singers that the world ever had. The newness was still there. You thought the teachers were the best that you could ever find. I'll even say you thought the pastor was fairly good. The newness was still there. But something happens, and the newness wears off. And then the priority becomes confused. I'm trying to thread this needle very carefully. As long as the newness that, you know, that aura was there, you longed to be around people of like faith. But when it dies down, and believe you me, if you don't keep the wood burning, the fire will go out. When the new becomes the old, that's when the critics come in and the evaluations and judgmental stuff comes in, and the preacher don't preach like he used to. He's too old. The singers don't sing like they used to because, incidentally, they're getting kind of some old age on them. You just look at things differently. But God help and bless the person that is as excited about serving God tonight as they were 35 years ago. Am I talking to you? That still got a flush in their spirit when the Holy Ghost fell. They wasn't swapping cooking recipes. They wasn't dialing smartphones. They were just enthroned by the power. Hahyuko sabakayanda. It was they were like Edsel Hazlip. It's still real, isn't it, Brother Hazlip? It'll put your pep in your step. Absolutely. Hallelujah. I'll get to my scripture. Possessing your inheritance. Did you hear me? There's such a thing as having something but not having it. The house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. Let's read. This morning we talked to you about the almightiness of God. And I tried to tell you that yes, he is almighty, but it's not really a done deal until he becomes almighty in me. When he's almighty in me, then I humble and submit. He don't have to hog-tie me, wrestle me down, whatever. He speaks. And we're thrilled to obey him. Tonight, we want to push this a little bit further. Possessing your inheritance. Joshua chapter 14 and verse number 6 through 12. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again that it was in my heart, as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, fully, totally followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land, listen now, whereon thy feet have trodden, shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord. How many know that that was a gift from God? It was just as good as signed, sealed, and delivered. God said, It's yours. And behold, verse number 10, And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. He had this inheritance for 40 years in the wilderness before the unbelievers got out of the way. And lo, I am this day 85 years old, 85 years old. Yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. And finally, verse number 12, Now give me this mountain. Hallelujah. Whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord saith. Would you move to the book of Judges? Now, there's a lot of scripture, but we're not going to belabor it. We've got several verses, beginning with verse number 21 of chapter 1, and then the feet. And all I'm interested in is the first clause in each verse. The children of Israel did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem. Didn't do it. They were told to do it. They were told to conquer them, but they didn't do it. Now, the Israel Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto sharing an inheritance. Oh, God, help me. Let's go to the next verse. Verse 27, And the house, neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shean. They were supposed to do it. Am I talking to you? But they did not do it. They could not do it by their own logic. All right, let's go to verse number 28. And it came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute, but did not utterly drive them out. If you don't take control over sin and carnality, you'll be plagued with it to the day you die. The implication is, and the reality is, they could have done it if they'd have heard God, if they'd have believed God. But they did not believe God. They believed what they saw. Let's go to the next verse. Neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites that dwell in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwell in Gezer among them, coexisting. Am I talking to you? Leave me alone and I'll leave you alone. We'll draw a demarcation line. I won't cross over, you won't cross. I'll let you do your stuff, devil. You can put cancer in me. You can put, oh, y'all don't. Next verse. Neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron, nor the inhabitants of Nahalot, but the Canaanites dwelt among them and became tributaries. Next verse, please. Ever how many more verses? Neither did Asher. Do you see the repetition? These are God's people. These are the elite, the elect. These are God's chosen people brought out of the wilderness into the land of promise. Supposed to be settling down and conquering their territory. Oh, neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Axo or the inhabitants of Zidon or Alab nor whatever. You can read it. Go ahead. How many more we got? Two more. But the Asherites dwell among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive. If you don't deal with that sin, this is a warning. This is a red flag. Straighten your house up. One more verse. Neither did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh, nor the inhabitants of Beth Anath, but he dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land. Nevertheless, the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh and of Beth Anath became tributaries unto them. That's all the verses we got. Would you pray for me and with me that I will, are you ready for the word of God? I want to sound the alarm in Zion. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm in my holy hill. Father, would you just step in this auditorium with a freshness, with a newness, with an anointing? Hodabasha. Oh God, let us hear heaven talk. Let us hear the reverberations of the glory of God. In the name of Jesus. Amen. It's a horrible thing. A horrible thing. To doubt the power of God. It's a horrible thing to debate the clear instructions from God's word. Hello? A horrible thing. I don't mean fuzzy-wuzzy stuff. I don't mean marginal stuff. I don't mean stuff that you can have your interpretation of and I can have mine. No, I don't mean that stuff. I'm talking about the clear. Thou shalt not, thou shalt. It's a horrible thing when God has to beat us up and press us to get us to obey him. Am I talking to you? God identifies himself in the scripture by seven compound names. There's more, but it condenses down to seven. Names like Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider. It happened in Genesis chapter 22. Isaac and Abraham. Hey, Dad, I see the wood. I see the sacrifice. I see but where is the sacrifice at? That's the way it goes. Son, God will provide. Jehovah Jireh, that's one of his names. Jehovah Roha is the Lord my shepherd. The Jehovah Raha, the Lord my healer. Jehovah Tiskanu, the Lord my sanctifier. Am I talking to you? He's my banner. He's my completeness. In those seven compound names is everything that I need, everything that to meet my expectations. Oh, God, help me. Genesis 22. I just gave that to you about Abraham. And somebody say amen. But it's not enough that he's almighty. We know he is. El Shaddai. El Shaddai. The God of might and money. I am marching in harmony to the best of my ability with the almighty God. How can two walk together except they agree? I'm not asking God to agree with me. That would be utter foolishness. But I'm praying day by day, step by step. God, I want to be in harmony with you. I want to be walking in tandem with you. I don't want to get ahead and I don't want to lag behind. I want to be step by step, hour by hour. Oh, God. God began this process of identification. We'll get to our text in a minute. God began this process of identification in Genesis 15 and 26 and continued it right on through Revelation 21. He's our almighty God. Every tribe was given a measured inheritance for at the discretion of God. The book of Joshua tells us how that they went out and measured for Zebulun, Dan, and different ones. From here to here, here to here, that was their inheritance. But just because God said you have something is no sign that you're just going to lean back and it's going to fall in your arms. We forget that there's an opposer. We forget that there's an enemy. And he hears the inheritance that is granted unto us. He knows what I'm capable of. He knows what God has given me. The gifts of the Spirit. The power of the Holy Ghost. The devil knows that. And the devil says, I know what his inheritance is. I know what his possession is. But I will do everything that is possible to defy him. To deny him. So that he'll come up short every time. That he may need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but I'll make sure he don't receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He may need to be sanctified, but I'll keep him cantankerous and unhappy and miserable so he can't be sanctified. I know he needs enlightenment, but I'll keep him with a veil before his eyes. I will keep him bouncing and bumping around. I will keep him on his Christian journey wondering, is he a saved person? Is he not a saved? I will keep him from his inheritance. I will keep him from his possession. But it's time that some of us stood up and said, devil, I'm wise to your mess. I'm wise to your tactics. I'm not going to listen to you another day. I'm going to go after what's mine. I'm going to pursue it day and by day. I'll never be satisfied until I awaken his likeness. I will have what God has told me is mine. I will not be denied. My God, do you hear what I'm saying? Somebody shout amen. Shatara Boshakaya. I don't care who you are, irregardless of what you're going through. If you're willing to stop short of your inheritance, you're a coward. I'm not being ugly to you. You're never to be sad. I don't care if you speak in tongues, give messages out. But if you're satisfied there, God help you. You've only started the journey. Oh, my God, does anybody... Somebody raise your hand to heaven and give God glory. Hallelujah to God. Every tribe had their possession given, but they never possessed their possession. How sad that is. Naphtali, you have this, and Dan, you have that, and Judah, you have it, but they never possessed their possession. We got church people, good people. In a sense of the word, they really love God. But they have never, ever reached out for that possession and said, I shall have it by the help and grace of God. It belongs to me. I didn't earn it. I didn't buy it. I didn't purchase it. God gave it to me. God gave it to me. And if God gave it to me, hell can't keep it from me. Kadamoshata. If God gave it to me, I better go after it like a hungry man that hadn't had a meal in a month. I better pursue it. I better spend sleepless nights because it must become the most important thing in my life, getting what God has given me. Kadamoshakayad. Kadamoshatalabakaya. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stopping short. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Stopping short. You remember Jacob. Supposed to go back to Canaan. But he stops at Shechem. And he gets in trouble. Every time you stop short, you're headed for trouble. Hunger for a fool. Inheritance. Am I? Shalamahaya. Instead, They learned something, these Hebrews. Instead of going after that was theirs. I remember one time, I didn't know this person all that well, but they were serious about seeking the baptism. And I told them, I said, I'll fast one meal a day for a while, ever what it means, until you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because I wanted them to have this possession. It grieves me. I should never, ever be satisfied until every person in this church is walking in the power of the Holy Ghost, filled with the Spirit of God, anointed under this with the gifts of the Spirit. I should never, as a pastor, I should lay in this altar, my God, groaning and crying until we see a breakthrough, until we see the sluggards catch up, until we see the slouches straighten up, until we see the cold and indifferent warm up, until we see the power of God fall. They learned something. These Hebrews learned something dreadfully wrong. They learned something woefully wrong. They learned something that was detrimental to them. Are you interested? They learned how to coexist with the enemy. Is that right? Well, Judah, you're not so bad, you know. All the little tongue talking don't bother us no more. It don't bother us anymore if you a certain. Oh God, help me, Judah. We can get. It's a big inheritance. We can get along. We don't have to be cross with each other. Yeah, okay, Judah said. Yeah, okay, that's all right. I'm Mr. Praise, and we can get the swinging and swaying done. We can have a good time. But God help us. God did not say coexist with sin. God did not say coexist with sin. God said destroy it. Cast off the works of darkness. Take off that old man. Put on that new man that's created in righteousness and true holiness. They learn how to coexist. Well, I've got a little temper problem, but God understands. No! Get it in your mind. God does not understand your temper problem. God knows how to deliver you from your temper problem. Don't drag that chain and ball through life saying, well, everybody's got a weakness. Everybody's got their minds, my temper, whatever. No, don't do that. You're messing with your mind. Come to an altar of prayer and say, I'm going to deal with this issue today. Y'all might not realize it, but I'm preaching from the throne. Coexist. A feeble expression, a feeble attempt by the Hebrews to drive them out. Well, we'll push you out. And they find out. Listen to me good. They find out that it takes a battle to dislodge the devil. You don't just say, in the name of Jesus. You better be prepared to fight. If you make up your mind you're going to move the devil, he's going to make up his mind that you're not going to move him. He'll call reinforcements in your home. Around your neighborhood, he'll block you every way he can because he knows if you get a hold of God, you're going to displace him, you're going to kick him out, and he does not want, he is happy. As long as you do what you want to on 6 days a week, he don't mind you coming to church on one day. Just live like you want to. Oh, I can put up with the little choruses, and I can put up with a little, as long as they don't make no demands on me. I can put up with a few people running around, jumping and jiving. Oh, God, carry us back to sanctification one more time. They learn to coexist. Leave me alone, and I'll leave you alone. such and such a tribe did not, some of them said, did not drive out the adversary. You read it. Some of them say they could not. When I face a task too hard for me, I get a partner, a prayer partner. There's power in agreement. There's power in unity. It's time. I know that this preaching is going to rile the bad boy up. But it's time that we get him out of our possession. It's time that we open the back door and say, get. Would somebody praise him? Coexist. Walking around. Are y'all ready for this? How do you rest at night? How does anybody rest at night knowing well that you're sharing your inheritance with the devil? Did that confuse you? What God has given you, the power of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God moving in your life, and you make room for the devil, you make room for flesh, it's wrong. But the works of the flesh are. And then he gives a catalog. And such shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Heaven is yours, but you're not going to drift into it. Heaven is yours, but you're going to fight for it. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. All that is in the world is the love of the flesh, lust of the flesh, the pride of the eye, and the pride of life. And they that are involved in that shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Kick the devil out the back door. Put a sign up there. I've learned your mess, devil. I'm not ignorant to your devices. I read it, and they did not, and they could not. God help us. God help us that when we face an adversary that is too big for us. I know where to go when I face, you do. We know where to go if we face one that's bigger than us. Run, go run into the rock. Go run into the rock. Help me, Jesus. Amen. So what do? Coexisting, walking around. Now I'm just getting started. Hope we don't have a power failure, because when the lights come back on, I don't know who'd be gone. Somebody praise him. Walking around in a body. Listen to me now. Walking around in a physical body. Your body. Your physical body. That has been sanctified and set apart for God. That's what sanctification, one aspect of it's being set apart. Walking around in your physical body, having been set apart by God to live a life of godliness and true holiness. Walking around in a body that has been sanctified, but that body being plagued with disease and sickness. The spirit man is doing good. He worships, but the physical man, the natural man, is being eat up with rheumatism, cancer, blindness, whatever. You name it. The spiritual man is in a conflict because he cannot worship, does not worship adequately and freely because of the plagues of the natural man. Am I losing you? When you are sick, you're challenged. Your worship is challenged. Now, do y'all see where I'm headed? A spiritual body, inside spiritual, outside physical, and that physical body comes under and attacked by disease, cancer, you name it, Parkinson's, you name it, comes under attack by the enemy, that natural, that devil cannot attack my, that devil cannot manipulate my soul. It's off limits. God said to the devil, you can have him, but don't you touch, you can have his life, you mess with, but you don't mess with that man's soul. The devil knows he can't mess with your soul. He's got to get through your body. He's got to get through your physical being. And that's why he attacks it. Please help me, Jesus. Because he can get you distracted. He can get you dissuaded. He can get you perplexed because of the physical pain and the physical problem. It's not a sign that you're a sinner. It's just that you've been under attack. You've been just plagued by the devil. So what do you do? Anybody interested? You evict sickness. Hello? You have got the authority. This is where the sticky stuff comes. You have got the responsibility and the authority to evict. Go into that chamber of yours that where the Holy of Holies is, where God dwells. Get in harmony with God and don't speak your words. Let God speak through your vocal cords and tell the devil to pack his suitcase and get out. My God, does anybody hear what I'm preaching? Don't give him wiggle room. Don't give him room for discussion. Don't give him, well, I'll give me another 30 days. No. Shut him down. But you can't do it if you're talking to him from your logical mind. It's got to be spirit. Under spirit, the Holy Ghost to come against the powers of hell. Do you think I'm crazy? What do you do when you coexist? When you wake up one day and realize, wait a minute, I've been hosting sickness. I've been telling everybody about, no, y'all don't. Please help me, Jesus. I've been telling everybody about my pain or my problem or my whatever it is. We've been there. We've all done that. So what do I do? You make up your mind. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. By your words, you're justified. And by your words, you're condemned. He sent his word and healed them. If you say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt, you shall have what things soever you say. That's in the Bible. Now we can sit around and play pool all we want to and talk about it and discuss it all we want to. But until we come to mean business, it's going to defy us. I'm not being foolish. I'm not talking foolish stuff up here. I'm not going over to some area that next week I'll be on another kick. No, sirree, I'm preaching the truth. So you wake up one day and you say, I have been hosting the devil. I've literally been, am I talking to you? Because the Bible bears out that disease and darkness and destitution is from the hands of the devil. God's word says, and no good things shall he withhold from them that fear him. And it grieves the heart of God. I do believe, I'm telling you, the mind of God. It grieves the heart of God for him to look at me as I'm walking around hosting the devil. What do you mean, preacher, hosting the devil? If I'm walking around plagued by Parkinson's disease and under the illusion that this is the way I'm going to end up, whatever, hogtied by it, no. And God looks at me and says, why don't you do something about it? I said, okay, tomorrow morning when I pray, I'll pray 5 minutes extra. God said, you don't know who your enemy is. You've been hosting a devil, a demon, a darkness. If you're going to evict him, you better get some Somebody's been hosting sickness or problems. Somebody's been hosting stuff that you should never have had to host. But it's time now to go separate. It's time now to separate your ways. It's time now to say, devil, I am evicting you by the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So there's your body. And that body possesses your soul, which is the habitation of God Almighty. The body, the spirit is doing fairly well, growing, nurtured, and mature. But the body is under severe attack. You and I, when we get like that, we're just like the people in the scripture that I read to you. We're people of God. Judah, Manasseh, Ephraim, we're the people of God. But we're not possessing what is ours. Does that make sense? We're not possessing. Let's plead guilty. We are not possessing. I'm not saying you're never going to walk around with a problem, but I can tell you one thing. It is not the will of God for a church to be under the gun like we've been for the last 6 or 8 months. That is not right. Now, I know it's easy to get some amens, and I hear all your amens, and I'm rescuing your amens, but when it comes down to fighting the devil, I want to find out some of you that are saying amen, where are you going to be? You want to get the devil out of the way, I know where you'll be. I know where you'll be glad to be. You'll be somewhere in a place of prayer. You'll be rebuking the devil. You will not be asking the devil to leave. You will not be pleading God, get him out. God has given you the authority, the responsibility, and the power to say to the devil, get thee hence, Satan. This body was given to me as a gift. Am I talking to you? It was given to me as a gift. And I am to glorify God in this body and through this body. There will be all-out war when we get down to conflict with the trespasser. They will not leave easily. Spirits of infirmity never will leave easily. They wrestle you down. They try to take your strength. They try to take your optimism. They try to take your personality. They invade your personality. I'm trying to be very careful here. God gave you a personality. It's a God-given gift. And when God gives the personality to you, it's given so it can emulate to other people. And the devil wants to come along and distort that personality. Does that make sense to anybody? He was come along where for 25 years your friends have seen you in one demeanor. And all at once now they see a different. Please help me, Lord. Please don't get nobody's name in your mind. It's all of us. It's for all of us. It's absolutely all of us are applicable to this. There's not a person, I don't think there's a person in this building that has always kept a steady smile on your face. I mean, I've seen some of you had kidney stones. Oh! I saw Brother Craig. Brother Craig usually is kind of chipper. He walked in the office like he lost his uncle. And he wasn't included in the inheritance. It happens. Their enemies, they drain you. These things of sickness, they move into your territory. God-given territory. It belongs to God, but God gave it to me. And He gave me Kabo Sandia. He gave me the manual. The owner's manual. He gave it to me. Said, this is how to keep that body going. Cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. He gave me a manual, and I'm too lazy to read the owner's manual. Let not your son go down on your wrath. That's the manual. Judge not that you be not judged. That's the manual. As you would that others do unto you, do you also. That's the manual. If they smite you on the right cheek, left cheek, turn the right cheek. That's the manual. But we lay the manual on the shelf and expect the jackleg mechanics in church. I mean, spiritually speaking. I've been sick for 13 days, and would y'all brothers gather around me because we want to get this thing taken care of? And I'm thinking in my mind, you hadn't been in prayer meeting in 20 years. Do y'all want me to finish this? Don't forget, there will be all-out war. How many understands that? You understand that? No messing around. It's war. Stack upon stack. You'll end up, you'll be dealing with this on your left hand and something will come up on your right hand. It's not just trials. It's the destructive power. You've got an inheritance. And the devil says, I'm going to own that inheritance. And you've got to conflict him and say, no, you're not going to own this inheritance because this, I know you're not, that your body is not yours. I'm a steward of my body. That's why I ought not to be eating grease of pigtail. Y'all can figure out whatever you ought not to be eating. I'm a steward of my body. I'm supposed to take care of it, not abuse it, not misuse it. I'm on page 2 of 4 pages. How do you evict this tenant? Because he don't want to be a tenant anymore. He wants to be the owner. How do you get him out of your life? I'm glad you asked. Number one, by your confession. Hebrews 10:23. Hold fast the confession of your faith without wavering. Without wavering. Don't be blown aside. Keep focused. Hold fast the profession of your faith without wavering, for He is faithful. Get in touch with God. Accept the idea that God has heard you. He sanctioned you to evict the devil. So you start it. Devil, I confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. The confession. I don't think any of us in this building are aware of the power of confession. Confession is saying, I don't mean Catholic, that kind. Confession is saying the same thing that God said. Hello? By His stripes, I am healed. Does that make sense to anybody? I'm not fabricating those words. I'm not pulling them up by design. I'm just quoting what God said. By His stripes. The devil hears that and said, well, we'll see who can outlast who. I'm not preaching heresy tonight. I'm not preaching wild stuff tonight. I'm telling you right now, if you're willing to tackle the job, if you're willing to knuckle down and get in the trenches, you can see a change in your life. If you walk with me and keep my statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you. For I am the Lord God that healeth thee. With his stripes, we are healed. 2 Peter chapter 2, 24 said, with his stripes, we were healed. Amen. The sun was setting, it was evening, and they brought unto Jesus all that were sick and afflicted and possessed by spirits, and he healed them. He didn't omit one. He didn't jump over one. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you right now, I don't know what I'll face next week or next the next 2 hours, but I'm telling you right now, this is the book, this is the manual. It means what it says. My son, attend unto my words, for they are life to those that find them and health. You want to get healthy? You want to get the robust back in your step again? Pay attention to the word of God. Am I talking to you? Hallelujah. Let me see, in this role of driving the enemy out, you make your body respond to your confession. Now my spirit, I'm wrapping this up in just a minute. Here's the way the natural flow is. My personality is used to responding to my body. When you send $1,000 to me to go on vacation, I get happy. Then I check the check to see if it's good. My body is used to responding to my spirit is used to responding to my body. My body says you feel bad. Turn it around. Make your body respond to your spirit. Do that sound funny? Don't give it wiggle room. Body, in the name of Jesus, I've listened to you for all these years, all these months, all these weeks, and I've responded to you. I've been intimidated by you. I've been knuckled down by you. But beginning right now, you're going to be under my authority. Beginning right now, I might have symptoms. I might have problems. I might have woe. But I'm telling you right now, beginning tonight, you are going to obey what I tell you. I know that's good. I know that's good. I know it's right. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Oh God, help me, Jesus. Am I talking to anybody? Tell your enemy that disease that refuses to leave, that you must do what I tell you to do. I give you authority over all the powers of the enemy. Let me just give you a thimbleful of remedy. Are you ready? If I do this and shut up, I'm not going to tell you I am going to shut up. But if I do this and get quiet, I have told you something strong. Here's what it is. A merry heart doeth good. Somebody give it to me. Like a medicine. Somebody give me a shot of... give me a pill. I want to see some smiles on your face. I want to see some ha, ha, ha. I want to see some glory to God. Hallelujah. My checkbook is set out. I don't need to smile. My body said I don't need to smile. My neighbors have said I don't need to smile. My family problems said I don't need to smile. But God said,